I enjoy working with our staff. I love our staff, and all of them do a great job, and I love serving and working along beside them in the ministry here. This week, Pastor Bud Smith and Tammy came down from the camp. We had two funerals this week. Pat Rose went to be with the Lord in our church, and Sophie Collins went to be with the Lord. And so they came down to be here for the funerals. I asked him, I said, "Brother, when's the last time you preached here at First?" He said, "Been quite a while." And so he's called of God to preach the gospel, and so we're privileged to have him. I asked him to preach for us this morning. So come on up here, brother. And while he's coming, let me share with you that he has some grandchildren, and they were by the church office this week, and really sweet children. They're not like their grandfather and that, but really sweet children. And but I love this guy, and tremendously in the Lord. And he was sharing with us this week that one of his grandchildren, a little boy by the name of Luke, is going to have eye surgery this week, tomorrow, at the University of Michigan at Kellogg, and to kind of repair a muscle in his eye. And I thought it'd be, before we turn him loose, to pause and have a moment of prayer for Luke right now, today, and to pray for his grandson. And then Bud's going to preach the Word of God for us today. So let's go to the Lord in prayer, if you would. Heavenly Father, God, we thank you for the opportunity to serve in the ministry. And God, we thank you for Pastor Bud and Tammy, their ministry. Thank you for his calling to preach the Word of God. Thank you for his labor of love there at Bethel Youth Camp and how he's impacted that ministry all through these years. And hundreds of children have been saved. Teenagers' lives have been changed as a result of that ministry there. And God, we thank you for his leadership. So we pray today, God, especially now, tomorrow, as one of Pastor Bud and Tammy's grandsons goes into surgery, that your hand will be upon him tomorrow. May you guide the doctor's hands. May the muscle repair be done correctly, and may it solve exactly what they're trying to do. And so, God, we pray in a very special way. You as a divine physician will have your hand upon him, and he'll have a quick and speedy recovery. Be with all the family, the father, the mother, and all the family that will be praying. And so, God, bless now the preaching of your word, and thank you that Bud and Tammy could be with us today. In Jesus' name we pray, and with thanksgiving. Amen.
Thank you, preacher. Lord bless you. It's so good to be back with you tonight. Today, I said tonight because most time it's Sunday night when I get to preach. But it's this morning, and I'm so excited to be able to preach for you on a Sunday morning. It sounds a little hot to me, guys. Is it? Okay, there. It's coming better. There. I don't sound like I'm reverbing so much. Okay, thank you. Greetings from beautiful and colorful Bethel Youth Camp. We are just now getting towards the peak of our color change, and it is a beautiful place right now, and I'm looking forward in a few days to head back there with all that was happening in the church this week. We came down for a funeral. We've been pitching in a little with visitation and just a sundry of different duties around the church. And Pastor Rick asked me if I'd preach Sunday morning. A preacher likes to preach. I'm going to tell you right now. You say, "Can I preach?" And I'm ready. It's a drive in me. It's like a pressure cooker. If I don't get to preach, the pressure builds up to the place where I think I might explode. I got to teach Wednesday night, and we had fun with that. And just praise the Lord. It's just a burning in my heart to share God's word with God's people. Thank you for all you do to help Bethel Youth Camp. I'm still ringing here, guys. I don't need that one. Okay, let's switch to the other one then. All right, I'm going to turn that one off. I hope. Technology, it's my friend. Okay, how's that? Is that better for you folks? Okay, now I'm going to warn you, I might step away from this mic, but most of the time people can still hear me. All right? So most of the time people can still hear me, but that's all right. Now, I wanted to thank Brother Ron for that good music today. Folks, we have... Should I say this? I will. and incredible. He was using the word incredible this morning. He's an incredible music director, and I praise the Lord for him. And let's just give him a hand for the good work that he's doing. Brother Ron, I want you to know that you were talking about incredible talents and stuff. Brother Ron, I am an incredible singer. I want you to know that. If I sang a special, it would be incredible if anybody stayed past 5 minutes. I'm the type of singer that makes hound dogs howl, and I can prove it. But that's all right. I enjoyed the music. The instruments were just great this morning. Didn't you love that? I just really enjoyed it. I always love to see people using their talents for God, and it's just always good. It's just always good to be at First Baptist Church of Canton, back here working and seeing so many people I know and visiting. And just praise the Lord for you being here. My wife is here. Say hello to her later. My daughter is here. I won't mention her name, but it's Karen. And she's visiting with us today. And I'm glad she's here today. Now, turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Hebrews, chapter 12. The book of Hebrews, chapter 12. I want to preach on this thought. Unshakable foundations. Unshakable foundations. Hebrews, chapter 12. Let's look at verse number 27. Will you please? Hebrews, chapter 12, and verse number 27. And this word, yet once more, signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Father, bless the reading of your word. I ask you, Father, to empower me to share your message this morning. Father, if I come up here and I preach what I think, I'm wasting your time and these people's too. So empower me to share your message through your spirit. I lean upon your wisdom, I lean upon your strength, and I lean upon your power. Oh God, use me this morning. Give me grace to stand up before these people and share what you have laid upon my heart for them. We'll trust you for a great outcome, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray with thanksgiving. Amen. When you get back to Bethel Youth Camp, you're going to see a few new things. You're going to see a new parking lot. Now, I know a parking lot is not glamorous, and it is not something that attracts attention. But believe me, a parking lot is a whole lot better than getting stuck in mud. And the last guy that got stuck in mud, I had to laugh. I had never been stuck before, he said. Mind you, he'd been driving for 10 years, and he'd never been stuck. And he was gracious enough to get stuck for the very first time at Bethel Youth Camp. So we laughed about that. Another thing that is happening is we've got a new fire pit. And I'm going to speak about that in just a few more minutes. We've got the gazebo project completed. We have the island project completed. Our next project and final one for this year will be a memorial wall to memorialize people at the camp with a memorial plaque that will be out there for a long, long time so we can remember special people there at Bethel. About the fire pit. You know what I learned about building a fire pit? I had never quite built one like this one. And boy, we were excited to do it and excited to build it. But I had never built one before, so I'm learning all about it, getting as much information. I go to the brick people and I say, okay, tell me how you do this. And they're talking to me about this. And here's what they said. Get the first row right. If you'll get the first row right, the rest of it comes together pretty good. So we put in... If you understand yards, you'll appreciate this. We put in 20 yards of 22A under this to level it out just as perfect as we can. That is a road gravel that packs just beautifully.
And when we got it all spread out just right, we put a 6-foot level on it, and we leveled it to as perfect as we can because we want these first block to be just right. Then we took each block and laid them in a circle, and we leveled each one of these blocks perfectly to each other, to where when you went across the ring with this 6-foot level, it would be perfectly level at all places. It wasn't ultra difficult, but I'll tell you, it takes a while to get that just perfect, you know. After we got that done, the rest of it went up just well, just fine, you know. But it takes a perfect foundation for the building to go upright. So I want to take and preach for a little bit this morning on unshakable foundations. Unshakable foundations. Say that with me, would you? Unshakable foundations. All right? Now, if you'll take and you'll start a family outright, if you'll start a family outright, you'll follow God's design for our marriage, which is one man and one woman, and you'll wait until after you're married to have children and to start all that stuff, all right? And if you'll take your family to church and you'll read your Bible and you'll do all the things that godly people should do, you've got a pretty good shot at those kids coming up pretty doggone good, amen? Will they be perfect? No, you're not perfect. The only people that are perfect on this earth, according to my wife, are my grandchildren. At least you'd think so by the way she acts. No, that's not the truth. I know they're not perfect, but they are good. But when you start a family out with a right foundation, it's got a chance to grow and prosper, doesn't it? Hey, we as a nation have a solid national foundation, don't we? This nation was founded upon biblical values. One of the first words in our greatest papers talk about our Creator. And to this day, we still, although people complain, we put in our money, in God we trust. And we could talk all day long about the basic biblical principles that were put into the building of this nation. Boy, didn't it do well? Didn't it do well? Now, I'm not preaching right now about what's happening today, but we had a solid start, didn't we? Because we laid a solid biblical foundation. And then follow with me. When a person has a solid spiritual foundation, they take some great steps towards building up into a great believer, to becoming a great man or woman of God. What does it take? Well, I would like to tell you that there is just a simple formula to follow, but here's what it takes more than anything, really: faithfulness, consistency, and determination to do the will of God. You just be faithful, you be consistent, and you determine in your heart that you will serve God. You'll be taking some big steps toward growing spiritually. Now, our theme verse talks about things getting shaken up. And I would like to speak just briefly on that. We talked about how families have a solid foundation and they grow up well. What hasn't our family structure been shaken up in 20 years? Hasn't it been shaken up? We are seeing the decline of the basic biblical home in this country. And it is a scary thing where that can lead our next generation. We are seeing, as a nation, the departure from the basic foundation that was laid so well 200 and more years ago. we are seeing in our churches. A failure in some groups and in some times, a failure to stand up for what is right and support what is convenient. All of these three foundations, while they have been solid in the past, have begun to show their weaknesses. Our families are getting shook up. Our churches are getting shook up. Our morals are being shaken up. I said this before and I'll say it again. Our nation and our moral fiber are being torn apart. We have embraced what God has called abomination, and shame on us all if we follow after. We could talk all day about the things that have been changed in our nation and things that are shaking up. The way we fight our wars has been changed in recent years. Have you noticed that? It used to be that we sent a mass group of soldiers over and we bomb and we fight and we destroy and break things until one of us wins. But today, that's not the way we even fight our wars. Maybe that's a prophetic sign, because in the Bible it talks about wars and rumors of wars. But the way we fight our wars is not the way we used to. Our whole world has been shaken in the past few years. I never thought I'd see the day where being a Christian in America would be thought of as a poor thing, but it is today. I never thought I'd see in our day people with guns saying, "Are you a Christian?" And if we answer affirmatively, we die. Things are just being shaken up. I've got some bad news for you. Deal with it. I don't think it's going to get much better for a while. Listen to these verses. I think there's times are going to get worse. Listen to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1. "This know also, that in the last days perilous times should come." Listen to the words of Luke 23 verses 29 and 30. "For behold, the days are coming in the which they shall say, 'Blessed are the barren, and the wombs that never bear, and the paps that never gave suck.' Then shall they begin to say to the mountains, 'Fall on us,' and to the hills, 'Cover us.'" Listen to the words of 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 10. "But the day of the Lord shall come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up." These things are happening in my mind, and I believe, because the return of Jesus Christ is getting all the more closer. Amen? Amen. All right. The Lord said it's going to be this way. The Lord warned us that it was going to be this way. So we shouldn't be afraid to expect it. We should prepare for it. But there's another side to the text. There's another side. And it talks about the things that can be shaken, taken, and fallen away, and the things that cannot be shaken remaining. That's where I want to take you today. I want to preach on the unshakable foundations. These are things that we can trust. These are things that we can base our lives and our faith upon. They act like an anchor and give us peace in times that are shaky. I have four I'd like to share with you this morning. The first one I want you to remember for this sermon is, the throne of God can never be shaken. Listen to me. Listen to Psalm 45 and verse 6. "Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of thy kingdom is a right scepter. Listen to Lamentations chapter 5 and verse 19. Thou, O Lord, remainest forever, thy throne from generation to generation. Now let me make this point perfectly clear. In all circumstances and at all times, God is on his throne. The things that are happening in this world do not surprise our Lord. That he is not impressed by them. He is still in charge. He is still our great king. And praise God, he is still on his throne. God is still in charge. God is still in control. And he will take and oversee all matters in the earth according to his purposes and his times. I want to tell you something. I have a dog. You may have met my dog. I have seen that dog face off with a bull and the bull run. I have seen it with my eyes. That dog doesn't go for walks. It takes you for a walk. All right? We will take Chloe. I don't know if you've ever seen a dog like this. We put her on her leash, and for our own personal comfort, we get one of those long, extendable things. Because if it's short, well, we go for the ride. And still, though we get it extended out, here's how we walk the dog. You've never seen one like that, have you? We have tried, we have tried, we have tried. But nothing has helped us. One day, after getting tired of being pulled around, I said, that's it. And she started pulling and pulling, and I just said, stop. And she did a perfect flip right over her back. And she learned for about 30 seconds that I didn't like being pulled. Said all that to say this. God has given this world a lot of leash. He has allowed things to go on that he does not approve of, that he is disappointed in a sin, and the day is coming when God is going to be tired of getting tugged on the leash and he's going to pull back and straighten things out. Amen. God's throne is a place of comfort for us because one day we know as believers we will all stand before him and he will make things right. But it's also a day of separation and a day of reckoning. Those who stand before the throne of God without knowing God will be cast into an eternal fiery hell from whence they will never return. It can be a celebration for us, amen, who know Jesus Christ, but a terrible, terrible place if we don't know him. The throne of God is a place that will never be shaken. Now follow with me. The word of God will never be shaken, folks. The word of God can never be shaken. Listen to the words of Christ in Mark 13:31. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. Listen to the words of 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 23. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Listen to me. This book has stood the test of ages, and it will stand the test of eternity. It is a foundation that will never be shaken. Amen. I can just speak briefly on this. We could talk about a lot of things. When we talk about the Word of God, we could talk about the test that's been put through. We could talk about how people have tried to stomp it out, but it just kept going. Praise God for the eternity of the Word of God. It will be there, and it will continue to be there. And that is one of the great reasons we love this book, because it is the Word of God. Follow with me. The promises of God will never be shaken. Amen. There, in the Bible, some say that there's over 30,000 promises of God. None of them have ever failed. There are promises for every child of God in every situation of life, and they will never fail. The power of God's Word can never be shaken. Listen to what Paul said about the Word of God. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. This book is the power, it holds the power to save men and women, children, people of all ages from hell. I would like to tell you this. This pulpit should first and foremost be about hearing God's word. Amen. It should be first and foremost. I like to use my illustrations. I gave in and I used a puppy dog story, Pastor Rick, today. I did. You know, most of the time preachers use puppy dog stories to make us cry. It's an old preacher thing. There's nothing wrong with an illustration. But when a person comes into this pulpit, their first duty is to give out the Word of God. The power of our faith is seen through this book. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12 says, "For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and the joints and marrow, and the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." I want you to know that I have held my babies in my hand. I have held my grandchildren in my hand. And I love them to death. One day they will die. One day I will die. But this book will stand forever. You know, the Word of God did for Adam what it does for us today. The Bible has a cleansing power. You get in this book, it's going to help you stay from sin. The Bible has a comforting power. When you need to hear God's voice, God uses it to comfort. The Bible has a convicting power. The Bible has a converting power. And the Bible has a counseling power. The Bible is God's Word. The prophecies of the Word of God can never be shaken. One of the great reasons for me personally why I believe the Bible is it has a predictive ability concerning the future. It warns us what's ahead of in the future. It tells us what to expect. And the only way that can be and be inerrant is that it has the hand of God on it. That's the only way that can be. I don't need a crystal ball. I don't need tarot cards. I've got all of the future I need by reading the Word of God. Now, in a day when the world is being shaken, we can be grateful that God's Word is like a chart and a compass giving us guidance through shaky times. Amen? Now, follow with me. The church of God can never be shaken. Listen to the words of Matthew 16:18. "And I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock," Jesus is saying this, speaking of himself, he's saying, "and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 11 says this about the church. "For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ." Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 20 says, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the cornerstone of the church. Now listen to me and get this right. Individual churches can fail, yes. It happens all the time. Individual churches can go by the wayside. That is true. But the bride of Jesus Christ, the church, will never fail. It will see its way into the marriage halls of eternity. The church has an unshaken foundation. When I think of the church and the duty of the church, I know Pastor Rick has been speaking somewhat on this, and I surely don't want to elaborate long on this, but when I think of the work of the church, I use the acrostic WIFE, W-I-F-E. Remember, the church is the bride of Christ. All right? W, what is it? Worship. I, instruction. F, fellowship. And E, evangelism. These are the great four duties of the house of God, and we don't need to carry one out more than the other. We carry them all out because they're all important to building a good church in the world today. The church has an unshaken future, an unshaken future. While individual congregations come and go, the movement, the church movement, cannot be stopped. The true church is secure, permanent, and abiding. Listen to the words of Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 27. That he might present it to himself, speaking of Christ, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. I'm going to make a quick illustration here. The Lord teaches us to think of his church as his bride and the return of Christ as the Jewish wedding in the day of Christ. The Bible teaches that we are thought of today as the bride of Christ, which is in direct accordance to the Jewish wedding ritual of its day. In the day of Christ, when they were betrothed, they were called bride and groom. It's not that we are becoming the bride of Christ. It's that we are the bride of Christ. Now follow with me. Follow with me. When they were betrothed, the duty of the bride was one thing. Purify and prepare herself for the day when her groom would come and receive her. We are today, as a church, to be purifying ourselves, preparing ourselves as a church for the day when Christ comes and claims us for himself. Later, there will be a day of presentation when we are presented to Christ. Follow with me. I would like to give you one more point for this morning's sermon. Notice with me, the child of God can never be shaken. John chapter 10, verses 27 and 29 through 29. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life. And they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. How many of you remember an commercial like this? You pull up on a the scene opens up with maybe a fire in a house or a car accident. And there's a quick discussion, and it goes to this scene right here. You're in good hands with Allstate. You ever seen that one? Do they still have the hands on the Allstate commercials? Okay, so that's good. All right, now. That text, boy, if you didn't get that, you go look at it when I'm done. John chapter 10, verses 27 through 29. Listen to me. That verse says this. Jesus is holding us in his hand. Then it goes to this. God is holding us in his hand. If you go to the book of Ephesians, we see then that we are sealed by the Spirit of God. So Jesus is holding us in his hands. God the Father is holding us in his hands. Then there's the seal of the Spirit. I said all this to say this. If the devil could get to us after all of that, he'd be saved because he's in Christ. Amen. We are safe and secure in our position in Jesus Christ. The Bible uses this verse. Unto him who is able to keep you from falling. One day, my eldest daughter and I, and we were all moving into a new house. And Mandy was going down 5 steps. She was just a young toddler. And we didn't have a lot of steps in our house. She starts tipping on one of those steps. Dads, you know what we do. Immediately, I grabbed that hand and she kind of pulled a little bit on it. I didn't let her fall. I did dislocate her arm with that. We took her to the doctor. The doctor pushed it in. And I said to the Lord, just spoke to me through this. God, it is your natural ability, your natural heart, not to allow your children to fall. And I rejoiced in that. I was sorry I hurt my daughter, but it was a great lesson to this preacher. It's not that we're holding on to God, but that God is holding on to us. We are not serving to obtain salvation. We are serving because he has given us salvation. We don't have a hope so faith. We have a no so faith. I love the book of 1 John. You're studying it in your adult Sunday school. I love that verse. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. You want a good lesson on the doctrine of eternal security? I challenge you to read 1 John. Because John was just blunt and straightforward, teaching the fact that the blood of Christ doesn't just save us for a little while, it saves us forever. Man, that comforts me today personally for myself, because I know that I shall see God. That comforts me for ones that have gone on before, because I know that if they accepted Christ, they shall see God. A man came up to me just a couple days ago. And he said, Pastor Bud, I'm so sorry to hear that your mother passed. I said, yep, we lost. She won. One of the great comforts we have in our faith is knowing that God holds on to us. And it's a great challenge, not just to do enough to stay saved. That's not what the Bible teaches, but it challenges me more because the love of God is so great that I am challenged to do more simply by the greatness of the love of God. The blood of Christ is not just sufficient enough to save us all, but to keep us all. I need to conclude now. Our time is running out. Back about 89, sometime around there, there was a great ball game. A great ball game. You may remember it. It was a Major League World Series where it was called the ball games by the Bay. You remember, I believe it was the Oakland A's and the San Francisco Giants. You remember that one? Okay. And right when the ball game was beginning, there was an earthquake. You remember that? When that was on, one of my deacons at my former church called me. He said, Pastor Bud, turn on this channel. I said, okay. His name was Bob, and I loved Bob Martin. He was a great man of God and a great deacon. He said, I want you to look at the scene in back of the stadium. I want you to look at the water. I said, okay, I'm looking at that. He says, do you see that island there? I said, yes, I do. He says, preacher, that's Treasure Island. I was stationed there as a Marine. I said, really? He said, yes, sir. I said, he said it was a man-made island. I said, really? Man-made, that big thing, a man-made island? He said, yes. I said, well, then, you know, it was in San Francisco. I said, they must have probably really made that thing strong. It must have been really tough because it was in San Francisco, it was in the water. You'd think that they'd make it really strong so it'd stand an earthquake. He said, no. He says, in an earthquake, that island turns to jello. I said, oh my. Got my heart thinking. In the days that we live, the things of man can turn to jello, can't they? The greatest accomplishments of men can turn to jello. But the things of God have a sure and sound foundation. Let's finish this up. Let every Christian rejoice that in a shaking world there are four things which we can know will never be shaken: the throne of God, the Word of God, the Church of God, and the child of God. To belong to God is to have an unshaking foundation to rest your soul upon. Hebrews 6 calls it an anchor. I just love that. Let me ask you here today. You find your timbers getting rattled by the news? Sure. You wonder what's lying in store for you in the future? Maybe your life at home isn't, well, it's getting pretty shook up. If you're a child of God, you have an unshakable foundation to rest upon. You go to God. You go to His Word. You go to His promises. And you go to His church. Listen to me. We need the house of God, amen? We need this place. I've heard people say, well, you can worship God by the trees in the woods. And I usually smirkly say, yes, you can, but you probably won't. We need the house of God. If you're here today without a church, I can recommend a good one right here in Canton, Michigan. Amen? All right. If you're here today and you don't know Christ as your Savior, it could be that God has brought all of these circumstances together for you to hear this message right here, right now, this very day. Oh, please, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, do not go away from this service without accepting Him, without taking and making sure that you understand how salvation works. We can tell you right here this very day from this altar, if you'll come forward in just a few moments. And then finally, Christian, you ever wonder why your life gets a little messed up? Maybe God's pulling the rein on the dog that's been pulling off a little too hard. God knows how to get our attention, doesn't He? He knows just what to do. And it may be that you've been walking kind of away. I don't know. I'm certainly not the judge. But maybe you've been walking away just a bit, and God is calling you back. Oh, listen, this altar is for you. Don't go away from this service today without making things right. In a changing world, the believer serves an unchanging God. His plan, His work in us, will all, if we know Him, will finish in eternity. Let's go to Him now in a time of quiet meditation as we prepare for the morning invitation. Let's all stand to our feet, please. Heads.